Hallelujah, saints. How about we all, well, everybody's coming back. How about go to day three? How about we go to day three, verse 21:17? How about we all declare it loudly? How about everybody stand up? So on day three, John 21:17. Church, and we're completing it, and we're in the last week, which is taking the shepherding way in John 21 to the building of the church. Also, we encourage all those who've been in the training to share from the training. So this book is from the Gospel of John. So hallelujah for the Gospel of John and Genesis.
Amen.
You know, Genesis. You go all the way, you fast forward all to the end. What do you have in Genesis? You have a man. You have a Jacob who's become Israel. And what is he doing? He's blessing others. This is a man who's been chosen by God, dealt with by God, matured by God, and transformed. And what is he doing? He's blessing others. And then you have John in the Gospel of John. Fast forward all the way to the end. What do you have? You have a man. Who's the man? Peter. What is Peter doing? Peter has just denied the Lord. He has made the worst unimaginable failed the Lord miserably. But the Lord has used this to touch his person. And through this big failure, he denies the Lord. But through this, the Lord touches his disposition. The Lord touches his natural life. And the Lord touches his self-confidence. And so what does he say to him? He says, shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. So he has the ground to say this because he's been touched, he's been broken. So going to the book of Genesis, in chapter 28, you have Jacob. And Jacob, he dreams a dream. And this dream is of a ladder joining earth to the heavens. And this is a dream of God's goal, of God's house, eventually the church, and ultimately the new Jerusalem. But the wonderful thing is, not only Jacob has this dream, God has a dream.
Amen.
God's dream is what? God's dream is the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
God's dream is to build himself into man. To build man into God. That he would have a God-man.
Right.
And this God-man would be man's home. And this God-man would be God's home. So then you go to chapter 32 of Genesis. In chapter 32, Jacob wrestles with God. And God touches his thigh. Your thigh is your strongest part. And so he's touched in his natural life. And he's broken. This begins his process of transformation. Then in chapter 35 of Genesis. Now Jacob does it. He comes back to Bethel. But it doesn't come there as a dream. He comes back to Bethel in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's no longer just the God of Israel, or the God of Jacob. But now it's the God of El Bethel. And that means God of the house of God.
Amen.
So now it's gone from an individual experience of God to a corporate expression
Amen.
Of God. And then you go from chapter 35 And then you go all the way to the end. And what do you have? You have Israel. And he's blessing people. He blesses Pharaoh. He blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. And he blesses the children, his 12 sons. And then you go to John. You know, John chapter 1, what do you have? 151? You have this heavenly ladder. And to Nathaniel, you have this same heavenly ladder, because this book is a book of life and building. And so then, of course, we enjoy the following in the past weeks. In John 14, 15, and 16, what do you have? You have the carrying out of this heavenly ladder. By what? You have the incorporation of God into man. Amen. In the Father's house, the Son's vine, and the Spirit's child. And then at the end, you have this man who's denied the Lord. What is he doing? He's feeding the church, caring for God's church. So what is the point of this? The point of all this is our experience of being chosen, dealt with, broken, and mature. It's not for ourselves.
Amen.
It's for God's building.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, it's for God's building.
Amen.
And I just enjoy one prayer here. And also the sign of his maturity, of Jacob's maturity, is that now some planting hands have become blessing hands.
Amen.
But this one prayer was really good from the training. It says, Lord, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
How about we all say that?
Lord, I love you.
And I open to you.
And I open to you.
And the next part is a little bit tougher. It says, I ask you to give me the experiences I need to reach maturity in my lifetime.
I ask you to give me the experiences I need to reach maturity in my lifetime.
I ask you to do this long before I die, that the church might be blessed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Even today in our sharing, we have a chance to bless the saints.
Amen.
To shepherd the saints.
Amen.
Could we have the piano ding in 90 seconds? And I just encourage everyone to share, because there's so much to share.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are certain, I just wrote down some certain things. There's so much in the training that is really great. So much sharing. So one thing I enjoyed was, said that the main street in the Bible is God's building.
Amen.
God is doing one thing in the universe. Building his eternal habitation.
Amen.
Amen. You know, people pray for a lot of things, for God to do things and fix things and fix the world and do all kinds of things. But God is just doing one thing.
Amen.
Right? He's building his eternal habitation.
Amen.
And that's what he's concerned about. That's what his dream is. Right? That's what his dream is. And he says, Brother Lee said in the training, says, any victorious Christian will always be a dreamer. He says, we have to be men of dreams, of visionaries. Right, to speak the dream, speak beyond your experience, and speak the dream. There's so many good things. Treasure every member. Treasure every member. If you criticize a person, you lose your standing to shepherd that person. And Joseph reigned in a marvelous way. He was a perfect type of Christ. But first he was a shepherd. First he learned he was a shepherd, and that was the first requirement. So before we could ever reign in the future, we need to learn how to be a shepherd.
Amen. We find this on taking the shepherding way in John 21 for the building up of the church. So actually, I think it's somewhat related, because Joseph was a shepherd, and then when Jacob came to the end of his life, he said, the God who shepherded me all the days of my life.
Amen.
And what I enjoyed in the week five this week is how the Lord Jesus, he was a good shepherd, but he was a shepherd in a very one-on-one way. For instance, when he was on the way to Galilee, you know, he passed through Samaria. In fact, he had to pass through Samaria in order to shepherd this one Samaritan woman who knew that, who had previously had five husbands. The Lord knew that she would come to the well of Jacob. So he nourished and cherished her in the shepherding way. In the same way, when he came to the city, he visited Zacchaeus, right? He was a chief tax collector, and he just shepherded this one, not in the way of a big gospel campaign, but just one-on-one. And then, you know, this is the way of the organic way, because when a family has children, it doesn't have 1,000 children at once. It's just one at a time, right? And then, like, for instance, through this woman in Samaria, then she went and spoke to so many in her town. So it's a kind of organic way where by infusing the Lord into people, then the Lord can spread through those people one by one in an organic way.
Amen. I'll follow that. This week from John, anyway, from this conference is so rich. Right. This was from the Chinese speaking conference. And anyway, there's such speaking release in all the seven P's in recovery. So this has been given in Chinese, but to me, it was just one of the top messages of the entire year. You know, without John 21, we really have nothing to do with the book of John. It's so, so rich. The revelation is so high. Chapter 14 through 17, right? It's the mutual dwelling of God and man. And this is Bethel, right? And we see it, just like Jacob, we see the dream, and wow! But, just like Peter, even after the Lord breathes himself into us, we just go back fishing. We just go back down, and we it's too high for us to enter into. There's no way. We see it, we say yes, amen, but we can't. But I'm so glad just that these chapters are after. It seems like it doesn't fit. Chapter 21, the Lord comes to shepherd again and join the apostles to the apostles' ministry to his heavenly ministry. To shepherd one into this something so high, but in a way of love and of life, shepherded in. And I was really appreciating this week the two chapters that before you have all these high revelation in John. There it starts with John chapter 13, right before this high revelation, where the Lord, as life, comes in love to wash the disciples' feet. He humbles himself, and he just to wash their feet so that they would be able to enter into this fellowship. Something so hot. Oh, sorry. Okay. Let me maybe read these verses. This affected Peter. Peter never forgot what the Lord did to humble himself, to care for these ones in a shepherding way. So at the end of his first epistle, Peter wrote, and he never forgot the Lord shepherding after, because he just remembered how he failed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, overseeing not under compulsion, but willingly, according to God, not by seeking gain through base means, but eagerly, nor as lording it over your allotments, but by becoming patterns of the flock. So this is his remembrance of the Lord as the chief shepherd. Who shepherded him? Sorry. Okay. And then the next, one verse later, he says, and gird yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God was just, this was his remembrance of the Lord, took off his garments, took off his pride, girded himself and washed their feet. Amen. Also that they could enter into something so high. Amen. This is what we're doing in the church life. Amen. Anyway, shepherding is the key to the Gospel of John.
Amen.
So we really have to grow. Our natural ability cannot
Peter had to be broken. Jacob had to be broken. So I just enjoy that, you know, this the discipline of the Holy Spirit is for our disposition. This disposition is guarding our character. At the last day of the training, I was so touched when we opened it, how Brother Ron just shared something about disposition. That if we don't get something for our hardship, our suffering, it will be such a loss. You know, after we go through something and we still don't get what the Lord's trying to say to us, it's a shame. And he said that some saints, after 20 years, will stay the same. And I was so touched, maybe I'm like that. Lord Jesus, mercy on me. I want to have the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, I have to follow her because that was exactly what I had a burden to share. I've been reading this book that I got from the Middle Age training called The Normal Way of Fruit Bearing and Shepherding for the Building Up of the Church.
Amen.
And Brother Minoru, he said this used to be a character training class, but he says now it has no name. But he says we're just going to read this book on shepherding and fruit bearing. And he said, why? Just like our sister Jenny said, it's because there's no way to shepherd unless your disposition and your being gets broken. He said, when you start shepherding and fruit bearing, what gets touched the most is yourself and your natural being. So really, what I really got out of being just in the Middle Age training for 2 weeks was, you know what, from this book, it's not so much the work, but it is the worker. You know, we don't care to be victorious in spiritual, but, you know, it's not our work, not the ones we take care of, but what about the worker? What is in your being? And he said, just like Jenny said, our disposition is the cause for our not bearing fruit and using our talent to care for people. The reasons that we do not bear fruit are that we are too sloppy and slothful and that we do not like to be dealt with. If we mean business with the Lord to bear fruit, we need to pay a price. Fruit bearing forces us not only to sacrifice, but also to learn the lessons to be broken. So fruit bearing forces us to learn the lessons to be broken. You know, we shouldn't say that our relatives aren't saved, our schoolmate, or this or that. We should not say that. It's because we are too whole. We need to be broken. Perhaps we are proud and would never humble ourselves before our in-laws. We have many relatives, the Lord, and we should not excuse ourselves. We must not remain whole. Our entire life must be broken. And in this book he even says, we were born by birth to care for ourselves. We are all for self-preservation. And I'll tell you, reading this, the Lord really, really exposed me. Because in the verse on day 5, Paul has the verse, I will most gladly spend and be utterly spent on your behalf of your souls. So to be spent means that he utterly gave all his material possessions. I will spend. And to be utterly spent meant he gave his life, his being. He gave his whole spirit, soul, and body. And for that, we can't do that unless we're broken. So, Lord Jesus, may we receive your words in this ministry.
Amen.
Yeah, just like this what Sherry shared, this is really the bottom line even of this whole training, even this morning revival. The Lord's given us his life.
Amen.
He's filled us with his life.
Amen.
For a purpose.
Right.
It's not just so that we would be happy, and obviously we know not just to go to heaven, but just even just to have a body, God, and we have a nice church life, and we praise the Lord, you know. No, but we need to bear fruit.
Amen.
If we don't bear fruit, we're just good to be thrown in for the campfire, right? Branches that are broken off, just good to be burned up. So we all need to have a prayer. We all need to have a prayer every day. Lord, give me some fruit.
Amen.
Give me someone to care for. Give me someone to shepherd. Just say, Lord, just give me one, that our life would not be a wasted life. Otherwise, our life is just in vain. You know, sometimes you go through a day, and at the end of the day, sometimes you feel like, wow, man, I didn't give life to anybody today. And sometimes we lose the opportunity. Why? Because we're so full of ourselves, full of our this and that. But we can have the life, we can have the life of Joseph, a life that would bless others. Isn't it a joy when you bless somebody else? You know, when somebody comes to you with their problems or their weaknesses, and then as they're speaking, you just, oh Lord, what do I give this person? And as they're speaking, you just pray. You just pray, Lord, I need you right now. This man needs you. And then as you do, suddenly just something starts to come. Something just comes out of your being into their being, and they get shepherded. And as we shepherd others, we get shepherded, right? You know, this is the life of Joseph. I so treasured this training, this life of Jacob, which eventually his sons and all of his sons in their situations, and eventually Joseph blessing others. We need to be a blessing to others. Amen. Lord, make our lives fruitful to bless all the people around us.
Praise the Lord. Enjoyed this week. Title is about taking the shepherding way in John 21 for the building up of the body of Christ. Since we go through this a second time, I really might see something in day three. You know, in day three, I just want to read to you the verse in John 21, verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Amen. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Saints, I just saw something that the Lord is setting up a principle here. It's like, it's trying to point to Peter. You know, he said it three times. If you love me, you know, feed my sheep. Shepherd my sheep, feed my lamb. So saints, I just enjoy that. If we really love the Lord is saying to us, feed my sheep,
Amen.
Shepherd my lamb.
Amen.
Feed the sheep for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And just like the sister was saying, you know, if we will cooperate with the Lord, there's another third principle. He says, Peter denied the Lord three times. Again, the third time. He didn't deny him one time, second time, third time. He said, I can do everything. He was so confident, but the Lord was just saying, in your natural ability, you cannot shepherd. So we need to go through this process. We need to be broken down. And I just remember this word from, I think, Watchman Nee, that God regards what we are more than what we can do.
Right.
So the Lord needs to do something in our being, in our disposition, in our character, so we can build and shepherd for the building up of the body.
Amen.
My mother was my mother, she was there in Oregon, and I wasn't there. I didn't get a chance to see it or anything, but they were up there. They stayed there for a while. And I hope Carol is coming now. But anyway, that was something that special for the two of them who are getting married. And again, I didn't get to see it, but I will hear about it. So praise the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things going on in a lot of places. So we pray for him and them. Two of them now. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
What's happening, what will be happening. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for what's happening. God is doing only one thing.
Amen.
Building.
Amen.
His eternal habitation vessel. I really enjoy it. I was really just love the training. I mean, the semi-annual training. Just seeing how the whole book, the entire Bible is all about, is a book of building. And God gave Jacob a dream at Bethel. He had a dream of the ladder with angels ascending and descending. And I don't know how he saw that this was the building and how, but this was God's building. He saw that God's building is to bring God to man and man to God. In order for God to have his building, he needs broken people. So just like Jacob, we have to be very broken. And this happens with God's sovereignty. I appreciated these little points that with Jacob's transformation began from the time that his strongest part was his thigh. And then when he was wrestling with God, and this part was touched. And this signifies that his inner being was touched by God. And I appreciated this prayer. We have to ask, Lord, what is my strongest part? What is my thigh? These parts need to be touched, or else we can never have the building. God can never have the building. But I like how this kind of went in with week 5, day 3, when Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and Peter thought he was so absolute, but how he could never shepherd, and the way to build is shepherding. That's what, he couldn't shepherd people because he thought he was so absolute. He said, Lord, I will die for you, and all this stuff, and how can you shepherd people? And he'd be like, why are you not absolute enough? You know, this is not shepherding. But so it was just God's sovereignty that he was just broken and failed and denied the Lord 3 times, and then he wept bitterly. This just showed Peter's breaking. I appreciated Luke 31 and 32. The Lord said, he tells Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have you all to sift you out as wheat. He said, but I have made petition concerning you, that your faith would not fail. Amen. And you, once you have turned again, establish your brother. So it's not that Peter was absolute, but it's that the Lord made petition concerning him.
Amen.
So the Lord is making petition concerning us.
Amen.
That our faith would not fail. We have no faith in ourselves. We have no absoluteness, but we lay our hands on the one who is absolute.
Amen.
This is the way that we shepherd others.
I'm so impressed by the fact that the Lord wants me to be a shepherd. And then I think, a shepherd, and I got help on day 3. We should not have to trust in ourselves.
Amen.
The discipline of the Holy Spirit destroys our natural disposition and habits and brings us in the constitution of the Holy Spirit and maturity in its wheat. First, we need to be torn down.
Amen.
And then we need to be built up.
Amen.
But second, we do not do the tearing down,
right,
or the building up,
right,
ourselves. God arranges the environment.
Amen.
To tear us down and build us up.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, Lord, if to build us up, it's God that does it.
Amen.
I enjoyed the full meetings that I've been in from the training, and the thing that I really appreciated was about Jacob and the transformation, and also Joseph and how he was under the limitation and restriction of the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, whenever I would think about being broken or being transformed or any of that, it just sounds so scary. We want to be torn down and dealt with. But it was so sweet to read in Hebrews how the Lord disciplines us because we are His sons. And He wants us to partake of His holiness. And the one message our brother shared about how when God deals with you, when God breaks you, there will be a supply. You know, and when God touches your thigh, there will be a supply. When God takes Rachel from you, there will be the supply. And because the reason why He's doing it, I appreciate He's making room in us for God.
Amen.
He's dealing with us so that we can partake of Him. So that He can have His dream.
Amen.
I was also, I was really encouraged by that. And in the training, there's a message on the process of maturity that I was really encouraged by, talking about how Jacob with what he went through, he was transformed. But then he came to a stage where his transformation, you know, he was pretty much changed. And that's, the divine life changes us, but it doesn't stop there. He still needed to be matured, which means that he needed to be filled with the divine life that had changed him. So the Lord had him, you know, took him through all these things with his son Joseph, where he wasn't sure if he was still alive or where he was or what had happened to him. And this caused his being to just be thrust open for the heavenly rain to just come and just fill in day after day. And even in like a secret way, you don't read much about it, right, in Genesis. But the fact is that when, it was amazing because when he found out that Joseph was still alive, he didn't have a normal human reaction, you know, like a person who's not transformed or mature would probably just be like, what did you guys do to me? Like all these years I was suffering and you knew he was alive. But actually his heart was numb and his spirit was uplifted, right? Which shows that there was like a division from his soul and his spirit. So, and then, but that doesn't mean that he was emotionless, that he didn't have any emotion. That's not what the divine life does to us, because when he finally did see his son, they just embraced each other and started weeping. So there you see like the godly emotion. So I was just encouraged to see the result of all of this in Jacob and what this looks like. It was just a beautiful scene.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The
healing
of the Lord is our intercession.
Amen.
And
the
Lord
is
our
intercession.
Amen. And the Lord
is our intercession. Very sweet.
Can you talk louder? Yeah. Louder.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Disciple and Peter.
Amen.
This is very intimate concern. And Peter.
Amen.
The Lord remembered Peter. So in the message, brother said, such a failure was a perfecting for Peter. Yeah. So he understood, you know, how much he failed. It doesn't matter how much he failed, the Lord remembered him.
Amen.
Yeah. So from the outline, may we all see what kind of a heart the Lord has told us. It is impossible for him not to love us, for him to forget us, or for him to forsake us. How much the Lord wants to, you know, we could know, how much he take care of the feeling of those who follow. Why we need to shepherd others? Because he shepherded the Lord shepherded us, as the ultimate concern. So why we need the shepherd in the church for more things? We need to pick up the burden, such a pick up the burden.
I really appreciate from the semi-annual training, message 2, chosen, dealt with, and broken. I really appreciate seeing in the latter half I enjoyed that we were chosen just like Jacob. And the Lord, he loved Jacob. And then, you know, the Lord, he disciplines those he loves. This is not punishment, but this is for our outer man to be broken. I really appreciate seeing how in the latter half, how our outer class needs to be broken. And that's just this is our outer man, this flask. And in order for the Lord to get his building, which is his goal, the divine life needs to be released. We have the treasure within our earthen vessels, right? But in order for a church to be broken, our outer class needs to be broken, so the divine life can be released to build up the church.
Amen.
And I really enjoy seeing in this week's morning revival how we can't serve with our natural strength. And we see that Peter, he failed so many times. He loved the Lord naturally, but this is out of his natural strength. But I really enjoyed this verse, Philippians 3:3. You know, when we shepherd others, we shouldn't serve by natural life. But I enjoyed this verse. It says, "For we are the circumcision, the ones who serve by the Spirit of God, both in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh."
Amen.
So I really enjoyed seeing that we shouldn't serve by natural flesh, And then also we should be reconstituted with the Holy Spirit Himself.
Amen.
We need our natural man to be broken so that the Lord could reconstitute us with Himself in our service.
Amen.
Praise the Lord to be broken down.
Amen.
I just really appreciate it. It doesn't matter where we are, we just need to ask the Lord to tear us down.
Amen.
And when we're at our lowest, we just need to pray, Lord, build us up. Every time we're rebuilt, there's less of us and more of Christ.
Amen.
And this way we can just mature in life and shepherd others.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Training is for reigning. Greetings from the church in Shreveport, Saints. My whole family attended the summer training, and we enjoyed a lot of riches from the training.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I enjoyed the matter that we are today's Jacob. We've been chosen, we are being dealt with, and we are being broken.
Amen.
In our daily experiences, I enjoyed this matter of everything and everyone in our environment are instruments of the sovereignty used by God for our transformation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The brother said, you know, your husband or your wife, your children, your neighbors, your friends, these are not accidental. It was placed by the Lord in front of you, you know, for your transformation.
Amen.
And I really enjoyed that, you know, through all the dealings and being broken, saints, in everything we have to give thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Everything, give thanks. Praise the Lord that every human being has a birthright.
Amen.
The right by word to express God and understand Him. However, every fallen person has sold his birthright to be independent of God. So praise the Lord that we have the birthright, and that birthright is the double portion of the land, the priesthood, and the kingship. But we should not despise our birthright, and we should not lose our birthright. Instead, we need to fight for our birthright. By fighting, can we reserve our birthright? And through fighting, we need to trust in the Lord, not in ourselves, to realize that fighting for what He has given to us. Also, praise the Lord that we have Boaz. The Boaz, the treasure that God given birthright, and was concerned not only for his own birthright, but also for that of others.
Amen.
So praise the Lord that we have a Boaz who has concern not only for his own birthright, but for others too.
Amen.
And praise the Lord that through this we have the jubilee, that we experience the that we are free from all bandage, the bandage of sin, Satan, the world, and the self. And we are free into the full enjoyment of our Lord's birthright, the right of enjoyment, the triumph of God's Christ. Praise the Lord that we can enjoy our birthright, and we should exercise our priesthood, and we should we should also realize that we should not lose our birthright through like what is to be that he just for just one meal give up his own birthright. Praise the Lord for our birthright.
Amen.
I have a few sentences here. Learn to warn others. This is to have intimate concern for them.
Amen.
In shepherding others, we meet human. The reason for this is the lack of intimate concern.
Amen.
We may visit a family to shepherd them, but we may not have any loving concern. We may display our knowledge, our spirituality, and our capability, but this is all good. So, we must have a deep, intimate concern. A ministry life is a life
that warms up others.
Amen.
This is to have an intimate concern for them.
Amen.
Warming them up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this training.
Amen.
In the book of Genesis, we see the life of Jacob, how he was a supplanter, a hill holder, but at the end of his life, he became so mature. And it's a beautiful transformation that we saw in Jacob's life. And, you know, maturity in life is the last stage of transformation. And in the process of this transformation to maturation, suffering is inevitable. But we don't need to live in our imagination. We don't need to fear the future, not knowing what suffering is coming to you. We need to just take it one day at a time, because the Lord's supply is there. One day at a time, when the loss comes, the suffering comes, the supply is there.
Amen.
The only sufficient God who is there for us. So praise the Lord for this training.
Amen.
We need to be brought on to maturity.
Amen.
We have the right to enjoy Christ. We have the right to stand and say that. We are enjoying Christ no matter what is our condition, what is our situation. Yes, this training really has exposed me, you know, in looking at Jacob's life and Joseph's life. Lord Jesus, and a while ago, you know, something was shared about shepherding. Yeah, shepherding and building are related. You know, if we are not built into God and God into us, it's hard for us to shepherd. I have this experience. You know, we need to let God increase in us, and we should be increased. That's why God has so arranged every person, every event, every circumstance in our life in order that we will be dealt with, broken, and be transformed, and be brought up to maturity. Praise the Lord for this, that we all have chance to say, Lord, I'm here. I open up myself to you. I open up for your transformation and mature and brought me, bring me unto maturity.
Amen.
For your building.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is primary work. For his building.
Amen.
Oh, learn to be broken, deal with, so that we will fit into his building.
Amen.
Anyone else? Does anyone want to declare one sentence? One enjoyment?
One sentence,
yeah.
Brother. I'll let you share for that one. I just remember that we have to look at each other in God's view. When we look at a brother or a sister, we need to look at the perfect one in them.
Amen.
And not their flaws.
Right.
We need to look at the perfect one in them.
Amen.
I enjoy that we have a new life within us. The Spirit of God is dwelling in us. He knows what we need, and he knows the kind of experience that we that will bring us the most benefit.
Amen.
He knows what we need.
Amen.
I guess just by way of closing, what a wonderful meeting this morning. Don't you feel like you had a little bit of your natural self replaced?
Yeah.
And you've had a little bit more God added to you?
Yeah.
And at the same time, you've been shepherded? Now you're able to shepherd? I just appreciate Brother Paul when he started this meeting. There was a prayer in there that I think that we repeated after, said something along the lines of, Lord, I'd like to mature well before the end of my time so that I can be useful to you in your church. This morning, so many saints shared between the parallels in Genesis and Jacob and the experience of Peter in John 21. And really, there are very, very strong parallels. And why is that? Because God has one purpose.
Amen.
God has one goal. God desires the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
So what is he doing?
He needs to build that desire into us. He needs us to be broken, to be dealt with, for us to realize what our natural strengths are, to go through the experience of Peter that realizes our natural man, no matter how strong it is, no matter how well-intentioned it is, no matter how much we have a natural zeal for the Lord, is not enough. And actually will ultimately fail if we rely on that natural strength. Instead, the Lord needs to come in and ask us, Lord, do you love me? Eventually, we'll be led to say, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. What's the Lord say? Shepherd my sheep. He wants us to feed his sheep. I was just impressed in the training meeting how the sister just mentioned it with having God's view towards man. You know, when Balaam, he was a prophet that was hired to curse the children of Israel. You know, the children of Israel, you know, were moving through the wilderness. They had all sorts of problems. And what did, so, but there was a king that was afraid of them. So he said, Balaam, go and curse them. But actually, the Spirit of Jehovah was on Balaam. And what did he say? He said, there's no problem with Jacob. There's no iniquity in Israel. But actually, there was lots of problems. And there's lots of iniquity. But why did he say that after the Spirit was on him? It's because he had God's view. In God's eyes, the children of Israel had no problem and they had no iniquity. Because what did God see? He saw Christ. Amen. He saw the one that the wonderful, pure one. And actually, even in our shepherding of others, we have to be careful not to kill them with our knowledge or our spirituality. Actually, that's why we need to be matured and broken. Because we need more of this loving Christ who beholds Christ in others. Actually, I was really impressed by this the statement in, I think, Message 7 that said, we need to have a telescope, a divine telescope.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That says, that sees through space and time. Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, once you see through space and time? Isn't that marvelous? But actually, we can look at a brother, and we might say, oh, this brother, oh, wow, he's got so many problems. You know, this is, you know, maybe I shouldn't shepherd this brother because just too many issues, right? But actually, that's using a microscope. So we need to get rid of that microscope and look through this telescope.
Amen.
And what would this telescope show us? It'll show us his brother. That's a jasper wall in the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. We need to get rid of our old view and have our old view replaced with Christ's view. Actually, that's the only worthwhile thing that God sees. This whole process of being broken and matured and being dealt with is for one purpose, so that our old man can be replaced and Christ can we can be replaced with Christ.
Amen.
And this Christ allows us to shepherd others and allows us to build up the church. And eventually the church consummates in the New Jerusalem, which is God's ultimate goal.
Amen.
So isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. You know, I feel that you know, this is our birthright. We need to claim this. We need to pray that prayer. Lord, mature me so that you can get your purpose. Mature me well beyond before the end of my time so that I can be useful to you.
Amen.
I just felt like we all have that feeling this morning. Hallelujah for such a wonderful speaking. In both Genesis and John.
Amen.